Welcome to the History AI Podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Welcome back to the History AI Podcast. I'm Chuck, and with me, as always, is the guy who somehow manages to make history even creepier, Marco.
I take that as a compliment, Chuck. And today, I'm especially excited because we are diving into one of the most infamous haunted locations in America, the LaLaurie Mansion in New Orleans.
Oh yeah, this one is a doozy. A beautiful home with an absolutely horrifying past. If you love a mix of true crime, paranormal activity, and just plain human darkness, stick around.
But before we get into the terrifying history of Madame Delphine LaLaurie and her mansion of horrors, let's remind our listeners, if you enjoy the History AI podcast, drop us a 5-star review. It helps us grow and bring you more eerie, fascinating, and downright shocking episodes.
Plus, if you have a topic suggestion, hit us up on social media. We love hearing from you guys. And now, let's get into it.
So, let's start with Delphine LaLaurie herself. She was born Marie Delphine McCarty in 1787 in New Orleans. Her family was incredibly wealthy, part of the city's elite, and deeply involved in Louisiana's high society.
Yeah, and back then, New Orleans was a melting pot of cultures, French, Spanish, Creole, and enslaved people from West Africa, all living in a complicated social hierarchy. Delphine was raised in a world where power and cruelty often went hand in hand, especially when it came to slavery.
She married 3 times, which wasn't unheard of in that era. Her first 2 husbands died under somewhat murky circumstances, and by the time she married her 3rd husband, Dr. Leonard Louis Nicholas LaLaurie, she had solidified her place among the elite.
And that's when she acquired the now infamous mansion at 1140 Royal Street, a stunning Creole-style home in the French Quarter. At first, she was seen as a charming socialite, hosting extravagant parties. But behind closed doors, a very different story was unfolding.
All right, let's peel back the curtain on what made the LaLaurie Mansion infamous, the atrocities committed behind those elegant Creole walls.
Yeah, on the outside, the mansion was this pristine symbol of wealth and southern aristocracy. A grand, 3-story townhouse with ornate ironwork balconies, located on Royal Street, right in the heart of the French Quarter. From the street, it looked like the epitome of New Orleans charm.
But inside? It was a house of horrors. The rumors started slowly. Neighbors noticed that enslaved people serving in the mansion often looked gaunt and terrified. Some locals claimed they heard crying or screams in the dead of night, but no one dared confront Madame LaLaurie directly. She was too powerful, too socially connected.
One account mentions that guests at her lavish parties, people sipping wine, laughing in candlelit salons, would notice enslaved people who seemed unusually timid or showed signs of physical abuse. But again, this was 1830s New Orleans. Slavery was brutal across the board, and most folks turned a blind eye.
Until the incident with Leah, the young enslaved girl. The story goes that Delphine LaLaurie flew into a rage when she caught Leah accidentally pulling a knot while brushing her hair. The terrified girl tried to escape, sprinting to the rooftop, but she either slipped or was pushed to her death. Eyewitnesses swore Delphine was right behind her, eyes full of fury.
After that, whispers turned into a low roar. Authorities fined Delphine and ordered her to sell her enslaved people, but here's the kicker, she circumvented the law by having relatives buy them back and return them to her secretly.
Now, the real turning point came with the fire in April 1834. It started in the kitchen, but it wasn't an accident. It was arson, set by an elderly enslaved woman who'd been shackled to the stove. She later admitted to the police that she started the fire as a desperate plea for rescue, not just for herself, but for others trapped in the attic.
And when the fire brigade arrived, they were horrified. First, they found the enslaved cook chained up and in terrible condition. But when they forced their way up to the attic, after Madame LaLaurie refused to hand over the keys, they stumbled into an unimaginable nightmare.
The attic was like something out of a gothic horror novel. At least 7 enslaved people were found, alive but barely clinging to life. They were chained to the walls or stuffed in cages designed for animals. Some had gruesome wounds, scars from whips, burns, and even more unspeakable injuries.
Reports from that day are harrowing. One man was allegedly strapped to a makeshift operating table, his limbs grotesquely stretched or dislocated. Another had a crude iron collar with inward-facing spikes that prevented him from resting his head. There were even claims, although some historians debate this, that bodies were found with limbs broken and reset at odd angles, as if someone were experimenting on them.
One story describes a woman with deep lacerations across her back, exposing muscle and bone, as if she'd been flayed. Another enslaved man was supposedly discovered with his mouth sewn shut and his lips badly infected.
The details are grisly and almost unbelievable. And here's the thing, this wasn't just sadism, it was systematic. Instruments of torture were found in the attic. Shackles, spiked collars, chains bolted into the brickwork. This wasn't a spur-of-the-moment crime. This was a chamber of horrors.
Word spread fast. A mob gathered outside the mansion, furious and disgusted. They stormed the property, ransacking it and tearing the place apart. Furniture was smashed, walls were ripped open, but Delphine LaLaurie? She slipped away in the chaos. Some say she was escorted to a waiting carriage and vanished into the night.
While the enslaved victims were taken to the local jail to recover, the public came to gawk at them like sideshow exhibits. Thousands of horrified New Orleanians filed past the survivors. That's how much shock and outrage this case caused, even in a society accustomed to the brutality of slavery.
Afterward, the mansion sat abandoned and vandalized, its reputation solidified. But no one ever forgot what had happened inside those walls. And to this day, no one really knows the full scope of LaLaurie's cruelty. How many people vanished inside that house before the attic was opened? The number is lost to history.
And that's what makes it even more chilling, the uncertainty, the unanswered questions. What we do know is enough to make the LaLaurie Mansion one of the darkest chapters in New Orleans history.
Absolutely. The physical beauty of the mansion stands in stark contrast to the horror it once housed. And that's why the legend lingers. So, you'd think that after such a gruesome past, the LaLaurie Mansion would have been left to rot. But no, the house has had many lives since the 1830s, and almost every one of them adds a new layer to its sinister reputation.
Yeah, starting in the mid-19th century. After it was rebuilt following the mob's destruction, the mansion went through a revolving door of owners. And no one ever seemed to stay long. People always reported strange happenings, phantom footsteps, flickering lights, objects moving on their own.
But then came one of its strangest chapters. For a brief time, the mansion operated as a hotel in the late 19th century. And during that time, it gained a reputation as cursed. Guests would check out early, terrified by ghostly voices, sudden cold spots, and what they called the oppressive air.
One of the most chilling incidents from this era involved a man who was staying there alone. According to reports, he was found dead in his locked room, no signs of forced entry, no witnesses. Just him, sprawled on the floor, his face contorted in terror.
What makes it even creepier is what they found around him, scattered pages of strange, rambling writings. His notes spoke of being stalked by shadow people and faces staring at him through the walls. Some said the writings were incoherent, others believed they hinted at a possession or descent into madness.
Classic horror movie setup, right? A man dies mysteriously inside one of the most haunted houses in the country, with deranged scrawlings as his only explanation.
But the house wasn't done. In the early 20th century, the LaLaurie Mansion became a school for African American girls. At the time, New Orleans was deeply segregated, and this school was one of the few educational spaces available for black girls in the city.
And here's where it gets bone-chilling. Almost immediately, the students began complaining of something unseen attacking them. They'd come to teachers with scratches and bruises, deep welts across their arms and backs.
When asked what happened, many of the girls gave eerily similar answers: that woman. They claimed they saw a tall, gaunt woman with sharp eyes and a long silver gown, gliding through the hallways and watching them from doorways.
Some girls reported hearing her footsteps pacing the attic, dragging chains across the wooden floors. Others said their sheets were ripped off them while they slept, or that unseen hands grabbed their ankles and hair.
The staff tried to rationalize it at first. Maybe it was hysteria or pranks. But when teachers themselves started hearing disembodied whispers and heavy knocking from behind locked doors, the fear spread beyond just the students. Eventually, the school shut down without much explanation.
And it didn't stop there. Over the decades, the mansion has been used as a furniture store, apartments, and private residences. Almost every tenant, business owner, or guest has reported something unexplainable: poltergeist activity, cold drafts, even people being physically shoved by invisible forces.
One furniture shop owner in the 1930s swore that every morning when he opened up, the inventory had been tossed across the showroom. Chairs overturned, mirrors shattered, and strange symbols scratched into the walls overnight.
And let's not forget the people who've walked by the mansion late at night. Some say they've seen faces peering out from the third-floor windows, where the attic once held LaLaurie's torture chamber, even when the building was completely empty.
And while historians can argue about the facts of the 1834 fire and the mob riot, the paranormal activity, that's the part locals swear by. Tour guides, ghost hunters, and skeptics alike say there's something undeniably heavy about that house.
It's like the evil that happened there left a scar on the building itself. It's one of those places where you don't need to believe in ghosts to feel something's just off.
And yet, despite, or maybe because of its reputation, the mansion draws visitors from all over the world. People stand outside, staring up at those iron-laced balconies, wondering if the spirits of Madame LaLaurie or her victims are still lurking inside.
And remember, for a brief stint, Nicolas Cage actually owned the house.
Right. And rumor has it, he never spent a single night there. Whether it was because of financial issues or something else, we'll let you decide.
But one thing's for sure, the LaLaurie Mansion is more than just a historic building. It's a living, breathing legend. And one of the most haunted spots in America. Alright, so final thoughts. Do you believe the LaLaurie Mansion is really haunted, or is it just the weight of its horrific history?
I think when a place has seen that much suffering, it leaves an imprint. Whether it's literal ghosts or just a lingering energy, that house feels wrong.
Agreed. And whether you believe in ghosts or not, Delphine LaLaurie was a real-life monster.
Absolutely. And that's why her story, and the horror of what happened in that house, still haunts New Orleans to this day.
Well, that's all for today's episode. If you enjoyed this, make sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us out.
And don't forget, we've got merch now. Check the show notes for the link.
Thanks for tuning into the History AI podcast. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into the dark, the weird, and the downright fascinating parts of history.
Stay curious, folks.
Are you tired of self-help books that demand effort, motivation, and actual work? Well, great news. You're already perfect. Stop trying so hard. It's Probably Good Enough is here to show you how to do the bare minimum and love every second of it. Written by Carlos Munoz, who is definitely not qualified to give life advice, this book is the ultimate guide to lowering your standards, embracing mediocrity, and coasting your way to happiness. Packed with questionable wisdom, snack breaks, and absolutely no research, you're already perfect. Stop trying so hard. It's Probably Good Enough is the self-help satire you never knew you needed. Get your copy today. Or don't. Carlos won't judge.